Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Aidan and Charles, who are the founder and executive director and the executive director and COO of the company. How are you today there, gentlemen?
Very good,
very
thank
well,
you.
Thank you.
As it's our first time talking about your company, Bluebird Merchant Ventures Limited, could you tell us a bit about you, both of your backgrounds, plus obviously a bit about the other directors?
I'll start there, Stephen. Well, myself, I started Bluebird several years ago. It was my first time to get involved in a mining company, and I've been involved in tech companies, soft commodity companies, and a variety of different things, mostly all in Southeast Asia and particularly in the Philippines. So I started the Bluebird with Philippine assets, really after investigating the Philippines, that geologically it's a really interesting place, sitting on the Pacific Rim of Fire. And that's how we got started with Bluebird, and I met the current CEO, Colin Patterson, and Charles Barkley, who have worked together for many decades, and invited them to be part of the company, and we sort of went from there. So over to you, Charlie.
Well, Stephen, my background has always been gold mining, apart from 2 years in platinum. I emigrated from England to start my mining career, and worked in South Africa for 18 years, becoming a section manager on the mines there. And then I moved to the Fiji Islands, where I became chief operating officer of Emperor Mines Limited, an Australian mining company that had the Batacola asset in Fiji. I left there in 2001, having taken that mine back underground, along with my colleague Colin Patterson, who I'd met in South Africa in 1984, and we have worked together often since then. I then went to Malaysia to do some management restructuring on the Penjong gold mine, and then after that in 2003, I got involved in Papua New Guinea and designed and built a mine there. In 2006, when that was completed, I went to Vietnam and built two gold mines there. And in 2013, having had a lot of exposure to the Philippines, I decided to move here and look at prospective projects with Colin and a couple of other colleagues, which we have been doing for the last 4 years. I met Aidan in mid-2015, and as he said, we joined him in what was then a very interesting portfolio, which had tremendous possibilities. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out to be the case, but more about that later. But as I say, I've been involved in mining all my life.
If we can have a look at Bluebird then, where you've been in sort of the past year or two during the downturn in the market cycle, and sort of what work you've been doing in the background up to this point in time.
Okay, well, as far as the Philippines went, Aidan had started an agreement with an Australian listed company to joint venture into the Batangas Gold Project. And when we listed last April, we were became a 25% partner in that project. The project was a very advanced and close to production. I should add that was the intent of our company and always has been, to look at near-term production. We are not explorers. Also had a copper trading business, which we had set up, was all ready to go, and then we had a change of government in the Philippines, and a fiercely anti-mining person was put in charge of the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources. it has basically turned the whole Philippine mining industry upside down with a lot of uncertainty. Australian partner wanted out. We were left basically deciding what we could do and where we could go. Silver lining to the cloud was that with the Australian company wanting out, we were able to secure 100% of the project when we'd literally only been going to get 51% if we'd spent another $1.7 million. We didn't spend that, and we got 100% of the project. So the net result is we have a very interesting and very prospective resource with a pre-feasibility study completed sitting in the Philippines, and we have a plant ready to receive copper concentrate in the when the political climate changes. We have taken the view that that may be a few years from now. We have parked those projects at very little cost. So in trying to figure out what to do, I said we've been looking at projects for a long time, apart from our work in Bluebird. Myself and Colin and my colleagues, Bluebird was Philippine-centric, and that was what it was always supposed to be. So we had this potential project in Korea that we had been viewing for some time, and we believed that it was the best thing for Bluebird to change its strategy, take on this project in Korea. We came to an arrangement to put the project into Bluebird, and we've now completed the formalities, and we're away into South Korea.
Could you cover, obviously, the surrounding news flow then on the South Korea project, and including today's RNS release where you put the funding secured, and having an initial look at that RNS, it looks very, very interesting what you've managed to put in place.
I think, Stephen, there's a couple of interesting points around today's RNS and also the one we announced just over a week ago regarding our shift in strategy. So as part of that shift in strategy, Colin Patterson, who was previously just a director of the company, has become the CEO of the company. And Charlie, who was the CEO, has become the COO and also a director of the company. And also, given Colin and myself's confidence regarding the South Korean projects, we had offered to the board that we would take 100% of our salaries in the form of stock and no cash at all. So the market should hopefully understand how confident we are with these particular projects.
And again, aligning yourself to your shareholders, which for a lot of mining companies at the stage similar to yours is very much appreciated, I am sure, by them.
So, absolutely. And also with today's RNS that has gone out, you can see that the management and directors have basically led and secured the funding for both of the projects. So when the South Korean projects, we had a commitment of $500,000 to spend at each mine over a 12-month period, and that would enable us to have 50% in a joint venture, and thereafter we would contribute along the way. Charlie, it's probably worth you adding a little bit about these two mines as to why we selected them and why the potential there.
Well, just to step back a little bit, the partnership that we have entered into with Southern Gold Australia is a partnership of two different styles of mining companies, if I can call Southern Gold a mining company. But they are definitely an explorer. Their modus operandi is not to operate. They don't have the expertise to operate. And right now we have a team assembled of colleagues with too many years in the industry to mention, and we cover virtually all the relevant professions required to establish mines. Now, Southern Gold acquired a lot of exploration projects, but on many of these projects there were abandoned mines, abandoned in the 60s, 70s and 80s, basically during low gold prices, they invited us to look at the potential of opening them up and getting them started and bringing them into cash flow. So we went into South Korea. We were very impressed with South Korea. It is not a developing country by any state of the imagination. It is a first world country in Asia. Infrastructure is magnificent. Roads, power, everything you can think of is very well catered for. Looked at some of the projects, and we chose two initially, the Taichung and the Gubong mines. Gubong is a very famous mine in South Korea. It was probably the biggest, but is only stated as the second largest ever. That project is a longer-term project than Taichung. So Taichung was a small tonnage but high-grade mine running at reputedly around half an ounce per ton. We have a sealed road going right up to the adits to get into the mine.
For our listeners that are in the new scale, half an ounce per ton is around about the 12 grams per ton mark.
The mine is open. We have actually been underground. I have walked over a kilometer and a half underground, seen the old mining. I have seen the ore body that has been left behind. I believe that it's got huge potential for us to get in. On a smaller scale, it won't be a big mine. And this is the probably one of the key points for Southern Gold, that by starting up these mines, their discoveries and lateral extensions of all these mines will have a ready processing plant in very short time, or if not, they have the crew there to do a new process plant in very short time too. So the pipeline from discovery to operations can be very dramatically reduced. So Taichung is our first property. The second project that we've chosen is called Gubong, as I said. Gubong is a fascinating mine in that it is was started in 1908. There are literally hundreds of kilometers of developed area, including infrastructure like four or five inclined shafts, two vertical shafts. Predominantly, it is above the general surface of the area in South Korea, but it extends quite a distance underground, and the grades are somewhere around 7 grams per ton historically. That mine, because it's so old and so big, like many old mines, presents an ideal opportunity for reopening and taking what was left behind when the gold price was $32 per ounce back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. So there is plenty, we believe there's plenty of potential to make a good return on our investment there. So both of these projects, we will be, during the course of the next year, carrying out probably what would be more appropriately called scoping studies to go to production. We hope to, in fact, beat that target by a little bit, but we have 1 year to do it.
So when we're looking at the sort of future news flows then and time expectations, could you just tell us a bit more about these sort of hopes and expectations?
Right. The first thing we're doing is that in Korea, there is an organization called KORES, K-O-R-E-S, which is the Korean Resources. It's a government-run body. They are the holders of all information on the mines. Now, when I say all the information on the mines, the one thing about the Korean gold industry, which makes life even more exciting, is that most of these mines that existed were all private. By anecdotal evidence says that very few returns were ever lodged. However, KORES used to investigate the resources and determine what resources were on each mine. So our first goal is to assemble all the information. We have some already, but to assemble all the information that we believe is missing from there, analyze that, and then from that we will start to verify Korean resources and align them to internationally acceptable JORC resources. We will then be able to issue news flow based on what we're finding there. We'll also be issuing news flow on how we're going with the opening up, whether we're on schedule, what we're finding, which I think for people who are new to mining, investing in us, I think they'll find it quite fascinating. We hope that that will go along. We're also hoping, in fact, we're applying, and we would hope to have a permit to mine sometime within the next 5 months, which will then allow us to continue. The again, another comment on Korea, the Koreas are extremely helpful in that they will actually do drilling and subsidize that drilling 100% for part of your program. So that's a huge incentive. There are huge incentives for environmental for environmental systems that will prevent pollution to the extent of 70% of the cost. So those are great incentives, along with a zero royalty, makes Korea highly attractive.
If I can ask about the political risk then in Korea, obviously everyone's au fait with the North Koreans. Could you just tell us a little bit more about the potential risks in South Korea?
We don't really see any political risk in South Korea. Yes, I think it was the president was, you know, formally ousted, but that's and there's an election taking place in May. But if you look over the last decades in South Korea, the economy has obviously been growing. It's a double A credit rating in South Korea. So we don't see that what had happened to the former president having any effect whatsoever on the mining projects at all.
Maybe to add to that, during the period that we were investigating the project, we met with the vice president of Korez, who was really enthusiastic with our potential projects. And the mayor of the city, which is adjacent to the Gubong mine, was absolutely ecstatic, offered all the help of all his departments to assist us in whatever we wanted to do, which includes access to the mine, all the information that they have, because Gubong used to employ 22,000 people back in the 1960s. And the local people told us there were 3,000 children in the local school at that time, and right now there's only 28. So they really have an interest in restarting the mine. Not that I hesitate to add that we will be employing 22,000 people in modern times.
Charles and Aidan, is there anything further that you haven't mentioned that you would like to?
Yeah, at this stage, that's it. We just want to get on with the job and get the good news out.
Charles and Aidan, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.